From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Our president needs to take an eighth grade civics course. He doesn't realize that he is on the brink of impeachment.
That was the voice of Florida Democratic Representative Frederica Wilson this past May, speaking to a CBS affiliate in Florida about a report issued then by the Washington Post claiming that President Trump had revealed classified information to the Russians, a report that has since been discredited.
And people will begin to call for him to be impeached, and the Republicans will have to join in because they need to be on the right side of history.
In an apparent case of self-fulfilling prophecy, Representative Wilson herself, just 1 month later, joined a lawsuit seeking Trump's impeachment utilizing the so-called Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Wilson is the person who's been characterized as a family friend to the family of a U.S. soldier killed in the African nation of Niger. For more on that, we spoke with Margaret Kimberly, columnist at blackagendareport.com, about her Freedom Rider column this week. AFRICOM is the question. That's in reference to the situation in Niger.
A couple of weeks ago, we found out that four American soldiers were killed in the West African nation of Niger, which is it's just south of Libya and Algeria. It's between Mali and Chad and just north of Nigeria. Right. And we found out that four soldiers had been killed there. And I think it was a surprise to most Americans to learn that the U.S. had troops in Niger or any place else in Africa.
Right.
But the U.S. Africa Command began under George W. Bush, expanded very much under Obama, and continues under Trump. And there is a large U.S. presence in Niger, some 800 soldiers, I believe, and a drone base. These soldiers were killed by fighters affiliated with ISIS. And this has happened, by the way, we have to go back a little in history, like so much else that the U.S. Tries to clean up, so to speak. It's the whole problem is a result of United States foreign policy, the destruction of Libya. Libya was the Libyan army. Those arms were taken by Boko Haram and other groups who then moved into neighboring countries. This is a direct result of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's decision to destroy the Gaddafi government and to work with jihadists. It's the same story, working with jihadists to get rid of secular Arab states. And it's called the Project for a New American Century. It's the neocon mission. And Democrats and Republicans alike are helping to fulfill it. So that's how things got started in Niger. But there are U.S. forces in some 30 African countries. I hope I'm getting the number right. But
yes,
it's a huge number.
35 and counting. 35 and counting, yep.
So basically, the militaries of these African nations are under the control of the United States. And the other issue, of course, is China. China is spreading its influence in Africa, mostly by giving assistance, not with with arms. So you see one country actually, and it's a two-way street with China. There are complaints about China's involvement with Africa. I don't want to say they're perfect or anything, but they're not shooting people. I'll put it that way. But of course, the United States, they don't want anybody else to have any influence in Africa. All they have to offer are arms. And China's building roads and railroad tracks and all sorts of things that people need in order to survive. But that's too much for the U.S. So anyway, there is now another sense of urgency in the U.S. spreading out its tentacles on that continent. So so these soldiers are killed. President Trump makes this, and it's something that could only happen to Donald Trump, makes a phone call to the widow of the one African-American soldier. His name was LaDavid Johnson, a young man in his 20s. And he was, this soldier was, a family friend was Congresswoman Frederica Wilson of Florida. She apparently was his teacher when he was a child, and but she knew the family well and was with the widow when Trump called. And Trump, of course, being Trump, messed up the phone call. Didn't know his name. He said something along the lines of, well, he knew what he signed up for, but I'm sure it still hurts. And it was very clumsy phrasing. He, you know, as usual, the bull in the china shop, didn't know what he was doing. Mm. And that this became public. And now it's become this circus of Trump saying he didn't say things that the wife and the congresswoman said he did say. His chief of staff, Kelly, tried to help him in a press conference. He just insulted everyone further. And the reaction, unfortunately, from most Black Americans, it's been twofold. It's been, of course, people are angry that Trump insulted the family. But instead of asking why are U.S. troops in Africa, and that's why I titled the column AFRICOM is the question. Why do we have an AFRICOM? Why are U.S. troops all over the continent? Why do young people like this? This young man worked at Walmart before he enlisted. Of course he was going to join the service. It's the poverty draft. Instead of asking these questions, and instead of the Congressional Black Caucus asking questions about, they used to be uniquely interested in Africa. Now they don't care about it. All they care about now is Russia. That's the only thing they talk about anymore. And this is a little sideshow. At least they don't, you know, I guess they're happy they don't have to talk about Russia for a week. But
they are anyway.
Yes, I'm sure they'll say Putin was to blame somehow. But right. But at any rate, so now there's this back and forth. Of course, the racist right wing, they can't help themselves. So now you have some right wing talk show host whose name I'd never heard of, called Wilson a whore. Newt Gingrich told her to shut up. I mean, and these are all the people who, you know, make anybody's blood boil, although I believe they should be ignored, frankly, more than engaged. So here we are. In this situation that is ripe for a question about the fact that the U.S. has military bases all over the world, questions about the fact that the destruction of Libya, which was a bipartisan project, what havoc that created all over that part of the African continent. Instead of talking about any of this, people are talking about Trump's bad manners and the bad manners of the racist right wing.
Yeah, it's interesting. First of all, in terms of Frederica Wilson, you know, she was a party to one of the emolument lawsuits against Trump. She's been one of the point people and the carpet bombing attacks basically on Trump from the day of the election, really. And so, you know, she's hardly an objective observer. And so for what it's worth, there's that. But like you reference with Libya, people are calling this, Trump's or the Republicans' Benghazi. And it misses the point for exactly the same reason that Benghazi missed the point. The crime in Libya wasn't Benghazi leaving, you know, Clinton or whomever they were claiming left the U.S. ambassador exposed so he could be murdered. That guy, first of all, was murdered by Libyans because he helped to destroy their country. And the destruction of Libya is the crime that took place in Libya. And when Libya was destroyed, Libya was the place that the nation that kicked out the last U.S. military base in 1969 when it had its revolution. The last U.S. military base on the continent of Africa was in Libya, and Gaddafi kicked them off the continent. And when they took down Libya, even though Stuttgart was hosting AFRICOM, and even though AFRICOM had been formally set up for about 3 years at that point, there were no sign-ons from any African nations until Libya was taken down. And then within a year and a half, you had 35 of the nations on the continent that have essentially the U.S. military doing command and control of their militaries. A complete military takeover of the African continent.
Absolutely. And yes, and the fact that she would use this right-wing trope about Benghazi, there would have the ambassador and the others who were killed, you're correct, would not have died absent right. U.S. intervention. And some of the jihadists who killed him were the ones who helped take Gaddafi out.
Right.
So the U.S. that's the real Benghazi scandal, that the U.S. got their own ambassador killed.
That's right.
So Wilson goes back to this, and this was a favorite of the right wing that they tried to use against Obama, always talking about Benghazi. And so she starts talking about Benghazi. And it's one more example. Last week, we talked about the Congressional Black Caucus and how worthless they are. So once again, we see them in action, attacking Trump using right-wing terminology. So the whole point, the real tragedy of this young man's death has been lost. No one talks about the fact that people that Walmart, where he worked, Walmart is the biggest employer in the country. They pay poverty wages. They take public assets to do business. No, Walmart doesn't open a store without getting a tax abatement. They pay employees so little that they qualify for public assistance. Glenn has a good piece this week about Amazon doing the same thing as Walmart and the race to the bottom and right. People all over the country competing to be the one to race to the bottom with Amazon. So these are the things that could be talked about. The fact that half of American workers have an income of $31,000 or less. Half the country is poor. And that's who joins the military.
That's right.
We could talk about the fact of U.S. imperialism. We could talk about the havoc that is being wrought in Libya and other countries because of the United States. But no, it's all about what Trump's bad manners in a phone call. And now a member of the Congressional Black Caucus sounding like somebody on Fox News. So it's a terrible tragedy all around, but not for the reasons that most people are saying.
Right. You know, looking at the military scenario that has been taking place in Africa since the takedown of Libya. Now, people aren't aware of the fact, most Americans certainly are not aware of the fact that you've had war raging in Africa, taking millions, literally millions of lives. You can go back at least to 1960 to the Katanga province attempted secession when, the coltan and the other valuable goods that were in the newly liberated Congo, they were trying to regain them for Belgium and the others. So they just said, oh, well, they're all in Katanga province. Ooh, we want to be independent. And so they started a civil war, Western-backed, Belgium and the CIA mostly. They murdered Patrice Lumumba and chopped him into little pieces so his body couldn't come back. And there has been a war raging there on and off since 1960-61. You've had across the continent, in 2007 through, since the year 1998 or 99 in Cote d'Ivoire, with the guy who was ahead of the, an employee, a senior official of the IMF at the head of the quote-unquote rebellion that ended up returning that country to France, in essence, with the president being taken out of the palace, the presidential palace at gunpoint by French troops. But with Libya, if you take a look at the map of Niger that's at the article AFRICOM is the question, your Freedom Rider column, blackagendareport.com this week. You've got Libya contiguous on the northeast, Algeria contiguous on the northwest, Chad to the east, Mali to the west, Nigeria to the south, Benin to the south, and Burkina Faso to the southwest. Now, you've got essentially a French occupation in Mali, which is contiguous to Cote d'Ivoire, by the way, also. And it was one of the staging areas for the rebellion in Cote d'Ivoire, as was Burkina Faso. You've had upheavals in Burkina Faso. You've got Boko Haram bouncing around in Nigeria. You know, Algeria, which has been stable for many years, is, you know, starting to get rumblings again. And there were several attempts over the years to, you know, start some sort of jihadi nonsense in that country. All of this is, you know, child of American foreign policy.
Oh, yes, all of it, all of it. It's, you know, every time whatever the U.S. does in the world is to further the interests of U.S. Military goals, imperialistic goals, of corporate interests, and it's never anything that helps people. And of course, that's always the rationale. Right. I think General Kelly said something about we're in Africa to teach them about human rights or something horrible. To the world's worst violator of human rights. How about that?
With respect to Africa, I mean, that has to be the worst case of hypocrisy in human history, that statement.
Of course, of course. So, so yes, it's more of the same. America's hands are dirty across the African continent. You have these, and African governments are weak because of the United States. They don't want anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's some strong man that'll, you know, let us steal resources, then that person gets American help. Otherwise. Any attempt to be independent, like Gaddafi, who had oil wealth, who was talking about a new currency, of course they targeted him, and talk about the lies that were told about human rights violation and the responsibility to protect. It was a terrible crime, and. So the history of the U.S. and Africa is a terrible one. It's quite awful. So every situation that the U.S. touches is worse for millions of people. But this is not something anybody talks about. It's now this pissing match between Trump and a congresswoman. And right. Instead of an argument, not even an argument over the substantive issues.
Right.
So it says so much about the country, about politics in this country, about our lack of democracy, that we have so little representation, that the Democratic Party has this stranglehold on black people, that we in our weakness are attached to them. In order to keep the Republicans at bay, but somehow we're never any better off. So this is where we are right now. And the congressional black, I had no idea I'd be writing about them 2 weeks in a row. But anyway, they're the gift that keeps on giving. So I guess, you know, as long as I have material, why not? So this is a situation that we're in with them.
Yeah. You know, let's go just for a moment for perhaps mm-hmm. that one person in the audience who isn't aware of it. But the beginning points of the relationship between the U.S. and Africa is the transatlantic slave trade, and then the actual formal United States of America starts with Tripoli, actually, in Libya, with the creation of the U.S. Navy in order to protect capitals, right, American capitals, right, to walk off with the goodies from Tripoli without having to pay taxes or what they called tribute at the time. In other words, to pay for it. Mm-hmm. That's what the U.S. Navy was created for. So that's the beginning of our relationship in educating Africans about, you know, human rights, the transatlantic slave trade and to the shores of Tripoli.
Yes, that's true. I forgot about that song. Yes, it's just extracting. It's extracting people. I mean, for a couple of hundred, the transatlantic slave trade lasted for several hundred years. That's why there are black people, you know, all over this country, the Caribbean, Central and South America, places where one generally doesn't think of African people being, but there are black people in Peru. And Bolivia and places like that. Yep. So yes, it's a history of exploitation. And then, of course, the Western Europeans carving up Africa, the Berlin Conference in the 1890s. And that's impacting Africa to this day, where they all created spheres of influence. And as the empires, those empires fought with one another, took them. So Germany had colonies, but Britain or France took them after World War One. And there was a long struggle for independence. And Africa countries have been independent for a very short period of time, since the late 50s, early 60s, mm-hmm. most of them. Mm-hmm. And they are still attached, unfortunately, dependent on the colonial states still being used to take stuff. And when there are attempts to be independent, when there are attempts to overturn the system, to be socialist, they are fought tooth and nail. So when people talk about Africa being a mess or Africa being terrible, let's think about why and think about who, if it were left alone, Africa could prosper. It has everything it needs, everything it needs. Then you have the brain drain, the drain of people who you cannot blame them for leaving, but people who could offer a lot to their countries in desperation, they leave for Europe or the U.S. or Canada. So it's a long story, but they are persevering and making attempts to be independent nations, to really be sovereign nations. But it's always the United States. We forget the United States and European nations who create these problems, and Africans are struggling to right these wrongs.
You know, just for people to really appreciate in its fullness what we're talking about here, when you're talking about AFRICOM with American, you know, officers, the senior American military officials at the Pentagon have command and control over the militaries of 35 African countries. What you're talking about is a U.S. military occupation of Africa with the locals acting as the occupying forces. In other words, people are occupying their own country on behalf of the Pentagon.
Yes, yes. And yeah, and you know, and so absolutely. So it's a new kind of colonialism. You know, you don't have a British or a French flag waving over these African countries. But if this isn't colonialism, I don't know what is, to have the militaries of these countries directly controlled by the United States. And now you hear the call for greater interference because of the death of these right. troops. So there are people who are saying they were betrayed by a local person, by a villager there. Well, who knows? I mean, the idea of that this, I mean, of course this is going to be murky. It's warfare. Sometimes, somehow Sergeant Johnson was separated from the rest of his unit, and people are asking questions about why. I don't know, and I don't mean to be uncaring about this man's life or the other men's lives, but this is war. People get separated from their units. You'll never find out what happened, and it's not really the point. But there's talk of retaliation, and we should find out who did it, and we should send more troops. So this opportunity has been lost, and it shows you the weakness of the left, the weakness of black politics, and the continued just devolution of political life in America, that people don't even know how to discuss this very important issue.
Yeah, I mean, the way you put it, in the article, Trump's bad behavior makes him an easy target for scorn and a convenient punching bag, this is the germane part, for the useless black political class. Now, you know, instead of sporting some kind of psychedelic cowboy hat, I don't get that whole costume thing of hers, but you would think that, and I don't know the Sergeant Johnson's personal family history, but playing the statistics, we're talking, well, and ultimately, regardless of what the nation state his grandparents might have come from, whatever, we're talking about the descendant of someone who was dragged from Africa either to the United States or to some other country and ended up here because it's all part of the exploiting construct to drag people here in the first place. Forced to join, basically compelled by circumstance to join the military, sent back to Africa and is killed there by people defending Africa from the United States. You would mm-hmm. think that there would be a political lesson sorely needed in this country that someone that was trying to actually do service and, you know, to their own constituents, first of all, and also to humanity in general, to just tell the truth about this is what we're looking at. And instead, here's a chance for me to sport my cowboy hat and talk about how Trump is, you know, is no good, which that's about as low hanging as the fruit gets.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Trump has taken up all the air in the room. There's so much, I still think, shock about his victory on the part of Democrats. So much combination of fear and anger from black people about his victory that people focus on him in ways that are not helpful. The problem with our political, I still find it fascinating that there is no anger at the Democratic Party about the fact that Trump won at all.
Right.
Democrats messed up. And instead of confronting them with their continued failures, the Democratic Party is wiped out at every level of government all across the country. But yet the anger is directed at Trump.
And everybody else, at us too. Hillary Clinton says the reason we have Trump, it's our fault.
Well, yeah. First it was Jill Stein's fault.
Yeah.
Then it was Bernie Sanders. Now this is all about how it's Bernie Sanders' fault.
Right, yeah.
And people are still listening. The fact that people are still listening to Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. What does that tell you?
Or
that,
Bernie
the
Sanders.
Person who engineered this debacle is the one who gets the all the credibility. But at any rate, so it just the entire situation shows you the depths of degradation of politics in this country. That at moments like this, we are too many people are upholding the people who are to blame for all of these problems.
You know, there's something that's changed, though. I think, you know, the way you phrased that might be a little outmoded. The part where you said that someone like Hillary Clinton gets all the credibility, because what that used to mean was that, because what it does mean is she gets all the press and gets favorable treatment from the press, and that translates into credibility among the population. But that's no longer the case. They are still pushing all of this stuff out there, but, you know, if you look even at polling data, any fairly stated question, people don't trust the media at all. So if they, just because they're telling you that Hillary Clinton's okay, don't mean they're buying it. I mean, so a lot of them are.
Oh, well, I mean,
you know.
Well, the fact that Trump won. I mean, the media were squarely in her corner.
Yep.
But there were enough people in enough states who weren't buying it for Trump to become president. And just the whole phenomenon of Donald Trump has not, I don't think, been studied well enough. And what it
at all.
What it means on so many levels about the two political parties and their lack of credibility. It's a very sad time, and to see. And I was also moved to write about this after the story broke about the phone call and what Trump said. And you know, on social media, there were black people calling him a hero and talking about gold star families. Who uses the term gold star family anymore? It was all this flag waving. He served his country. He was a hero. He was not a hero.
Right.
He was a victim for the fact that he had to join the military in order to survive. And then he died because of U.S. imperialism. Mm-hmm. So even if people wanted to honor him, they didn't even know how to honor him in the appropriate way. We honor him by being truthful about his death and about what it says about this country.
Yep. Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com under the banner Freedom Rider. And we've been discussing her column this week, AFRICOM is the question That's with respect to the four U.S. soldiers who were killed recently in Niger. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.